That you are not a used to be awesome. You are a now awesome and will be forever awesome God. And we thank you, Lord, that you're the God who lives in us. And so, Father, we thank you that your awesomeness is rubbing on us as your sons and your daughters, that you, God, the light, you've called us also to shine brightly as light, that you, God of love, you've called us also to love. Father, help us to see you as you are, and help us to be changed, transformed, renewed, reset to be like our Heavenly Father. For that's your desire for us. You called us to be like you. And Lord, oh God, we are asking that day by day, moment by moment, that we are being changed to that same image from glory to glory according to thy word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to have you back this evening for a time in the Word of our Father and our Lord and the Holy Spirit, who brings us to remembrance to all that Father has for us. The Lord greatly bless you and cause you and I to flourish in his goodness. Amen? You may be seated. This evening, I feel a sense in my spirit that we need to still hammer down the word the Lord has been giving to us the last few weeks. As the word was stated this morning, we need to stretch out. Amen? Stretch out our tents. It says we should lengthen the cords. Amen? We should strengthen the stakes. So in a sense, I'll be recapping some of the things we've talked about. But in the process of recapping them, what we are really doing is stretching those terms, chords, taking it further and further in every direction. For the word of the Lord is that we should enlarge our tents. Praise the Lord. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent. And then it says, and let them stretch forth the curtains. Now, we talked about the stretching forth of those curtains and focused a little bit on the them. The them are destiny helpers. Those that God will bring into your life, bring into my life, bring into this church, that have particular skills and abilities that help you expand. Now, my calling is to be a preacher and teacher of the Word of God, to bring the prophetic Word of God to God's people. But I am not blind to the fact that I cannot do it without the help of so many people. What do I know about computers? What do I know about sound systems? What do I know about projecting the voice out there? What do I know about Zoom? What do I know about the internet? It takes destiny helpers to come alongside and say, I'm going to do this. What do I know about writing multiple books? It takes helpers. Because if you gave me a page to type, it would take me a long time, you know, to type 10 words. I'll be looking at it. T? H? But there are people who just sit down there and just go, T-H-I-S, blah, 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 blah. 100 words a minute. Boom, it's done. What do I know about that? Sure, I can learn. But then I'm not going to be doing what I'm called to do because I'm spending my time focused on something else. That's not my forte. It takes people to come to help you expand. Hallelujah. And it takes you being thankful. The Bible says that a man was paralyzed. Let's look at this passage of scripture found in the Gospel of Luke. My pad is not cooperating. It's messing around. It says in the word of the Lord that there's this man that is paralyzed. And they came to where Jesus was, and because of the crowd, they could not get to where Jesus was. So what does the word of God say? It says that his friends carried him up the stairs. They got on the roof of that place, which was actually Peter's mother-in-law's house. They got to the housetop and they started taking up the tiles. They started removing tiles from the housetop. And the Bible says they let him down through that tiling. And it says, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. So we know that the reason this man was in the problem that he was in was because of something sinful that he had practiced. And this has created paralysis in his life, and he's in this dire state. Now, the thing is, Jesus is in the house. He's not going to stay in the house forever. At some point, he's going to come out of that house. But when he comes out of that house, they may not have the faith. It was when faith was alive in them that they proceeded to hit that iron when it was red hot. Sometimes we delay our miracles because we're waiting for some time that is convenient. When it is convenient, the woman with the issue of blood, when it is convenient and nobody else is around, then I'm going to go to Jesus. Because right now, he's busy with Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And maybe Jairus knows about my problem, that I have the issue of blood, and he is going to rebuke me and tell me, "What are you doing here, lady? Who gave you the right to come here? You're supposed to be in your house." No, Jesus is coming now. I'm going to receive my miracle now. And it doesn't matter whether it's convenient or not. Right this very moment, I have faith. Right now, I have the faith to receive this miracle. When you have that faith to receive the miracle of God, don't you dare allow anybody to talk you out of it. Because that's the time. Blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. He's at the side of the road. And Jesus is coming by. He hears that Jesus is coming by. And he begins to cry out with a prophetic declaration, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." How did he get that statement, "thou son of David"? Who taught him that? He didn't get that from some synagogue school. They weren't teaching that in the synagogue. Till this day, they still don't believe that he's the son of David, some of them. But he honed into the truth. This is the son of David. And I'm going to ask him, because when he said, "thou son of David," he was saying, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. And as the Lord will say it to Peter in Matthew 16, "flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you." You see, the miracle that you and I are looking for, when it is time for you to receive it, God will quicken it on the inside of you. Amen? He will quicken it. And when he quickens it inside of you, that's when you grab it. You take a hold of it. I have faith. Some crazy faith that this is going to happen. Nobody else might see it, because it's not for them to see. Nobody else might believe it like you, because it's not for them to believe it. The one that needs to believe it is the one who has the imaging of it inside of them. You're the one who's seen the vision. You're the one dreaming the dream. Hallelujah. And therefore, you need to have people that come into agreement with you. I don't know who decided that particular day in that passage in Luke 5 about going up those stairs. I don't know. Maybe it was the guy on the bed. Say, guy, we cannot go in. There's too many people. He says, too many people. I believe if I'm right in front of him, I'm going to get my miracle right now. Let's go up those stairs. Go up what stairs? Those stairs. And when we get up there, what? Rip up that roof. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he saw their faith. Because their faith was their agreement together. He saw their faith. Not just his faith, not just their faith in terms of those that were carrying him, but he saw the power of agreement. He said, your sins are forgiven you. Interesting. Your sins are forgiven you. Is it just the sins of what they did before that got him into the trouble? Or is it also the sin of them ripping up somebody else's roof? All of that together, everything swept together and said, we're going to clean up this thing right now. You're going to receive your miracle this very moment. Your faith, your believing, is making it possible for you to receive your miracle because you're asking for it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, what are you and I believing God for? My experience has been that there is a particular time. Not a chronological time, a kairos time, a particular appointed time when certain things happen. And while you are praying, while you are believing, you watch for that particular time. Because sometimes it doesn't just happen. It happens when the doors are open, when you receive that faith, the God kind of faith bubbling inside of you, and you start to talk crazy to the hearings of every other person because they know that it's not going to happen. They know it. It's not going to happen. But inside of you, you know that 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 you know it has happened. It has happened. Hallelujah. Have you ever been in that place where you just know something just happened? But in the natural, it doesn't look like anything has changed. But you know on the inside of you, something just happened. God just touched me. I believe that I receive. He says, if you believe that you've received it, you are going to have it. Now, we said that the receiving, a great deal of the time, is in the realm of the Spirit. So the Word of God tells us in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. It says, God, our God, our Father had already blessed us. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, someone say, who hath, that is past tense, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Every blessing is already provided for in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Because God knows the past, knows the present, knows the future. It's all plain before Him. There is nothing that you're going to ask God for today that He has not provided for already. There's nothing that your children are going to ask for today that God has not provided for already. God is not surprised by our asking. He's already made provision for it. Plus. Hallelujah. Plus. God doesn't just give to us what we ask. He's given to us more than what we have asked for. Listen to the word of God in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. I'll take it up from about verse 5 or 4, Ecclesiastes 3. I think I got the wrong passage. Go down to 6, let me see. 6 and 7. Okay, I think I'm looking at Ecclesiastes. Let me look for it myself. The passage that I'm trying to get us to is a passage that talks about what is past is now, and what is to be, I think it should be in 7, what is to be is already past. Praise the Lord. And then it says, and God requires that which is past. 3:15. Thank you. Now, take me to verse 14. It says this, I know that whatsoever God doeth, whatever it is God doeth, whatever it is God is doing, it shall be for what? Forever. Whatever it is God is doing, it is forever. It says nothing can be put to it. In other words, you cannot add anything to it, nor anything taken from it. You can subtract from what God is doing. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. God doeth it that men should fear before Him, should have reverence for Him. Then it says,